Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. And right off the bat, I want to say, if anybody has a cow that I could just get to know and hug, I've always loved cows. I love what I do, but that is one of my dream jobs, is to one day have a cow, maybe two, so the first cow doesn't get lonely. I love farming life. I just don't like all the work that goes with it. If somebody could just let me hang out with them that has a farm, that would be great. And I want to say right off the bat, before we get into the text of Exodus 31, that not knowing what you do, each individual person in this room, not knowing what you do, it's incredibly difficult to talk about this subject and be specific with everyone. So there's general principles from God's word that we can talk about. But I think when you really consider what you do for a living, and when you think about your job tomorrow morning and you think, I cannot stand what I do, I don't like what I do, I'd rather do something else with my time and energy. I really think when you come to that place where you've acknowledged that and you've come to the end of yourself and the scriptures and prayer and asking the Lord to answer, I think we have to take that next step and go to community. And I like the emphasis that our church has on community. And I think it's important to invite other people into your life to say, look, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I read from the scriptures, this is how I'm praying. Could you just maybe speak some truth into my life? And I want to know from outside looking in, am I doing what I can to glorify the Lord with my talents and my gifts? And so there's somebody probably in this room right now that needs to reach out to someone and say, hey, I'm in that position. Can we talk? Can we get together and really hammer some things out? I like what Pastor Andrew said this morning about finances. There's somebody in this church right now that is just taking a fine-tooth comb to their bank account and seeing where each penny is being spent. I think that is very wise and very necessary. The same can be said with what are we doing with our time and our energies. Not too long ago, I was in a job while working in seminary at Bob Jones University, and I was working a job. I was there for about 4.5 years before the Lord moved my family and I to Colorado to pastor out there. I was working at a job at a call center, and I'm not sure if any of you have ever worked at a call center, but it can be one of the most monotonous jobs that you can ever have. I worked at a company in Greer, South Carolina called Level One. While I worked there attending seminary, I could still remember the flow of the conversation when I would pick up the phone. When my phone would ring, I'd pick it up. And it was a leasing company, so I would help people from across the country just kind of pick and choose an apartment that they're not able to visit themselves. And so I could actually still rattle through the phone call right now, and I'm not going to bore you with that. But I can remember asking questions like, what size home do you want? What floor level do you want? Do you have any dogs or pets coming with you? And heaven forbid, if you told them that they could not bring their pit bull to the property, there's a lot of people that would just give you a piece of their mind. And you know, your pit bull could be named the sweetest name and have the sweetest temperament, but you know, you have to let them know, I didn't write the rules. But they will give you a piece of their mind. But for me, this job was not at all something that I enjoyed. I did not like getting yelled at because of rules I didn't come up with. It's repetitive. There were really no options to ascend the corporate ladder, especially for somebody that was part-time. It was dead-end work, at least from a human's perspective. It wasn't enjoyable, and not for me, not even long-term. But it served a purpose. I was able to, by the grace of God, meet the needs of my family while attending seminary. And I think there's some things that we can all get behind before reading the text this evening. I think there's some initial observations that are worth noting. Number one, we work jobs to sustain our lives. That's eating, that's shelter, that's paying your bills. We work to provide for our family. Our kids can't get jobs. We have to go to work, make sure that they have food on the table. And both husbands and wives work in order to provide for each other and for their children, especially in the cases when supplemental income is necessary. everybody in the home, in a way, pitches in. Again, it includes buying food, providing shelter, transportation bills, fuel, housing maintenance, vehicle maintenance. All of this are reasons, good reasons to work. You have to maintain your home. In fact, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his own household, and this is Christians, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbelievers. So if you want to take it that far, Christ says that there's absolutely something at stake when a person decides to work. Now, there are some special cases in which someone would normally work in order to earn an income, but are not able to. Sometimes it's due to illness or some other physical or cognitive deficit. But naturally, if a person is physically and mentally capable to work, God does command each and every one of us to work. But now, if you work at a job that you believe is unenjoyable, it's emotionally taxing, it's draining, it yields no opportunity for growth, or provides no opportunity to climb the corporate ladder, or otherwise does not help you grow spiritually, what do you do? How do I readjust my focus so that I can go to work tomorrow morning? And for that, I want us to look at least two or three different texts of Scripture this evening. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can read the Word and we can know exactly what you want us to know about work. We know that it's all to your glory, every part of it, from beginning to end. We just want to be people that spread the fame of Christ everywhere we go. It is our prayer as your people that the Holy Spirit would work in us day in and day out, week in and week out. Holy Spirit, please do not leave us alone. We need to grow. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. Exodus chapter 31, if you will. We're going to start there. Exodus 31, if you remember the story of Exodus, God's people were imprisoned or just held captive by Pharaoh in Egypt. First several chapters, I think 18 or, chapters or so, God really manifests his power against Pharaoh and the people, and really through the mouth of Moses commands that God would let his people go. And finally, the people of Israel are released, and they go to the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses ascends the mountain, and Moses is given details regarding what exactly his job would be. And in Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 11, we read a very specific task, a job, and that was building the tabernacle. This is the group of people here that would pull all these resources together and really pack up and move from town to town and going wherever God would lead them. And in order to build the tabernacle, God says in Exodus 31, let's read that in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by the name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholab, the son of Ishmael, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Skip down to verse 11. And the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. So all of the pieces of the tabernacle are built by very able-bodied, gifted men. Okay, listen, this is not about just guys doing all the work, okay? Don't misread me. But God, if you look at verse 3, it is God who is the instrument by which this job was accomplished. Look at verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship. So the first thing, when we wake up in the morning, we take an assessment of our work and our talents and our jobs. Let's recognize exactly where our talents come from. Yes, we go to college, we go to seminary, we go to grad school, and we do all this work, but ultimately the gifts that manifest itself from my life are gifts that God gives us. I like what one of our panel people said here, that if you are called to do it, he's going to enable you to accomplish it. Where do the talents and abilities, and where does even the Holy Spirit come from that enables you to work? It's all from God. Number two here, it said in our text, he equips us with all the knowledge and the ability and the intelligence, and he doesn't just leave us there. Verse 6 and verse 11 tells us that the reason behind all of the equipping is that they may make all that I have commanded you. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. So, I mean, there's this very trite saying, it's kind of cliche, but the person that is called will also be equipped. And if you know, the tabernacle was built, it was exactly as God intended it, and the Lord's glory descended upon it, and it was really a huge testimony for God in the world. If anyone will get the glory for accomplishing anything, this text teaches us it's God. Now turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. The same principles apply even to specific individuals. It's not just for the people of Israel. It's not just for the church. But specific individuals apply, even when you're in a hostile location. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 reads, "Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, four youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans." So again, where do talents and abilities come from? It comes from the Lord. I love that word in verse 4, endowed. Maybe your translation says something different, but the idea is that they did not come up with this on their own strength. It was something that God gave them. You're skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge. And God, expecting, knowing full well who he had placed in Babylon, gave them a task to do. It says in the last part of verse 4, to teach them the literature and language of all the Chaldeans. There was a purpose behind that. These men were educated men so that they may be an influence in the places of work that they were called to be. Ironic that we were talking about teachers just now, and here these young men were raised up to teach people in this country that was not their own. So where do talents come from? Where do talents and abilities come from? They come from God. God equips, but God equips for obedience. So here's another question. What if you have no job? How do I glorify the Lord in work if I have no job? If I'm at home and it's just my station in life, I don't necessarily go to work, I don't have an employer, but what are some ways in which I can glorify the Lord? And for that, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Really, Paul in this letter is ramping up his letter with regards to salvation, all that it entails, how it is all of God who redeems us, and the focus of redemption. There's a terminating point in redemption. Verse 11, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Ultimately, if you and I that are saved, we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit that resides within us, whether we have a job or not, there is absolutely one thing that we can all agree on, that we exist and we are saved in order to praise God's glory. That's verse 12 and verse 13. It is all to the praise of his glory. We obtain an inheritance. We believe in the gospel. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. All of that has its terminating point to the praise of His glory. So when we wake up in the morning, we take a really hard look at what are the gifts that we have. Let's ask ourselves, are we giving God the glory in our talents? Or are we taking those talents and are we either suppressing them, hiding them, removing them in some way, shape, or fashion? Or are we taking those talents and going fast and hard after getting people to know who Jesus is? Are we salt and light? Are we the light on the hill? Are we taking what God has given us and proclaiming His glory wherever we go? So that would be the first question. If we were to sit down in my living room, this weekend we had somebody over and we built a fire in our backyard. If we were to build a fire in our backyard and I were to ask you, why do you wake up in the morning? Why do you go to work? I would hope that the answer is, man, I just want to serve the Lord tomorrow. I just want His fame to be proclaimed wherever I go. It's really hard when you don't like what you do. It is incredibly difficult, especially if you're in a call center and you've already answered 30 calls and you don't really have any interaction or any liberty to tell anybody about Jesus, but you can respond in a Christ-like way to the monotony. Maybe there is somebody that says here today that needs to step back and look for a different job. There is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking for new work. As long as looking for new work enables you to give God glory more in the next job. So, where do talents and abilities come from? They come from God. God equips us in order to obey wherever we go. And even if we don't have a job, we can still show forth Christ's love to other people. Now, I have a series of questions for you, okay? And this is for tomorrow morning, maybe even tonight before you go to bed. I want you to ask yourself these questions. If you need me to email these to you, I'd be happy to, because there's a lot, okay? When you wake up in the morning to prepare for work, what goes through your mind? Who's in charge? Who owns you? Who dictates your purpose? If it's anything other than existing for the glory of God, I know change has to be necessary. Change is important. Let me ask you another question. Does the job you currently have offer you the best opportunity to use your gifts to the glory of God? Do you go home and think, I believe God has gifted me in certain areas, but I'm not able to use them at my current job? Does this job help you grow spiritually? There's some people here tonight that when they go to work, they already know that they're going to come back spiritually drained. That you already know that it's not good for you and your emotions and your spirit. It just brings you down and that there's no possibility of recovering from that in a way. But does this job help you grow spiritually? Are you growing in holiness? Are you growing closer to Christ because of this job, or is the opposite true? Does this job help you or hinder you from knowing Christ? Does this job help you fulfill the Great Commission? Are you able to actually share the gospel with someone at your work? Are you able to reach others for Christ at your job? Is your job the best place for you in that you are able to make Jesus look great in the eyes of the people at your work? What about the opposite of that last question? Does this job naturally cause you to hide or suppress the gospel? When your life is over, and believe me, it will, I work as a hospital chaplain, life does have an end. Was this job a good use of your time to the glory of God? You see, in Isaiah 63:14, the prophet Isaiah was telling people, look back at where you've been. He says, like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. God leads people so His name is proclaimed. And if that's not happening at work, ask yourself, should you be there or should I go somewhere else? Romans 9:17, this is God speaking to Pharaoh. For this very purpose I have raised you up. You are Pharaoh because that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You are where you are so that God's name can be proclaimed. If there's something about what you do that is preventing you from telling other people about Jesus, maybe a change is necessary. And of course, you can't go without saying 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Life is way too short. This last year, it's been really tough in the ICU at Greenville Memorial. I've seen a lot of young people go through, and they just don't know how to cope. I think some of the high schoolers and the college students that the panel is visiting, they come see me. And it's not in a good way. Are we impacting people with the gospel? Are we impacting our children? Are we telling them that whatever their hand finds to do, do it to the glory of God? So when you wake up in the morning and your job just absolutely stinks, can you at least ask yourself, am I doing it for myself or am I doing it for the glory of God? And if you have little to no opportunity in that place to glorify the Lord, maybe a change is necessary. And again, community is necessary in answering that question. I don't really recommend someone finding a closet somewhere and just getting alone with God and that being it. There's a time when you have to come out of the closet and of prayer and actually say, I need someone to speak truth into my life. So if that means you're coming over to my house later this week, and we're going to build a fire in my backyard, and we're going to talk through some of these things, I want that to happen. If it's somebody else in this room that can speak truth into your life, make that connection happen. Life is too short to be at a job that you don't like or that you don't believe God is using you in. Life is way too short. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the ways in which you work in our lives. I just pray for those in this room, myself included, that we would stay submitted to your leading. Wherever we find ourselves, pray that we would glorify you in it. There may be someone that may not have their job by the end of the week. It may be unexpected. There may be someone that needs to take a leap of faith and move somewhere else. There might be someone under the sound of my voice that, Lord, that you've been working on their heart to call them to ministry or missions or some other full-time service in that capacity. And Lord, I don't know what's going on, but Lord, you do. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would just convict us of what we need to change, that we would grow and stay submitted as a church family. Thank you so much for being a God that's so easily accessible. We don't have to take a number to talk to you. We don't have to wait in some waiting room to speak to you. Lord, we don't have to wait in line. We have direct access to a very loving Father who wants to work in our lives wherever we find ourselves. And that's the God that we want to exalt this evening and in tomorrow morning. In Christ's name, amen.